Welcome, 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 everyone, to another episode of Shypedia Podcast. This is your host, Marsha. And, of course, I always have, like, special people in the studio with me. I mean, like, people that's just doing huge things locally and nationally. In the studio right now, I have Mr. Brandon Fox. He's a singer-songwriter here in Chicago. Welcome to the show.
What's up? What's up? What's up, Marsha? What's up, Chicago?
What's going on?
What's up? How you guys doing?
And shout out to my producer who did this track for me. I'm sorry. I have to insert that. I don't know if you can do a little freestyle today.
I'm not going to embarrass myself. You're going to have me out here looking bad. No, I'm a singer. That's it.
Damn jokes. Shout out to him for doing that for me.
Before rehearsals, it's funny though. Before rehearsals, every rehearsal we have, I just go crazy.
Do you?
And they're like, why don't you rap? Why don't you
It's better when it's very spontaneous. It's a freestyle. That's what it's about.
I know that. But I feel like if I do that once, and then people are going to expect. I'm not a rapper.
Okay. We're not, All right. So we're just going to focus on you being a singer songwriter. Okay. but there's more to you, Mr. Brandon Fox. You know, most importantly, besides focusing on the music, you also focus on mental awareness.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all have a story. You know what I mean? Like, everybody goes through whatever their path is in life, and we never know what that end result is. I guess we just strive to be better people, but it's something that happened in my life, you know, and we didn't know what it was or how to deal with it when it first came about, you know, but as time went on, as it progressed, you know, just mental health, and bipolar is something that entered my family's life, you know, and that kind of snowballed into my father, you know, resulting to cope with his stuff by drinking, you know, and that leads to depression.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was just something that came into my family's life. And I think as America, it's not really something that we discuss, especially in Black America.
Yeah, you know what absolutely. I mean? And it's very common.
It's like a faux pas. But like, if you think about it, right, like, I feel like a lot of this stuff, it's. A lot of it is money. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get too deep into it, but I feel like a lot of that stuff comes into money. And when you don't have a foundation behind you, it's easier to say that, oh, I have the crazy cousin. You know what I mean? It's like, I have the crazy cousin, but you know they're not doing that.
We like to put that stigma there.
Yes.
You know,
yes. Identifying them with mental health issues, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And having a family and support system around you to help
and
you.
And I think that we're all sort of guilty of pinpointing that stigma as being this person is crazy.
Right. Or, it's easy to do that.
Right. It's easy.
You know what I mean?
Except, you know, no one really listens or just support it or try to dig deeper. You know, it's so common. As far as statistics goes, is one of four Americans suffer from a mental illness.
Yeah, and like over 80-some% once mm-hmm. you hit the age of like 45.
And so
you're going to deal with that.
And you have different types.
Of course.
You know, I do want to list a few of them. Mm-hmm. So you have PTSD, you have bipolar, you have schizophrenic, you have OCD, mm-hmm. you know, and we know people that display a lot of these. And instead of trying to figure out a way to help get them help.
Right.
We like to just label them or just turn our backs on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's been the problem. Finally, I feel like finally it's starting to get to a point where society is like, okay, hold on. And a lot of that has to do with the celebrities. So
any celebrity
that's out there that started to do that, I commend you. You know what I mean? Like, that takes a lot for you to go out there and do that because it isn't an easy conversation. I remember me, myself, first doing it, I had a conversation. I was talking to my manager about the whole thing, and I was just writing music that was basic. You know what I mean? It's just, let's talk about going to the club. Let's talk about drinking. Let's talk about getting lit. You know what I mean? Let's talk about the basic stuff that everybody be talking about commercialized. And it took a lot for me to say, all right, I'm going to talk about what's real, the things that are wrong in my life, you know. Mm-hmm. Talk about my DUIs, the stuff that I've been through, you know what I mean? Talk about the dark places that I've been in, because once I'm able to do that, not only is it therapy, but there are a lot of people out there that deal with this stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, they feel alone.
They do. And I remember I made a post today saying, you know, because I have a show coming up. I'm putting together a mental health awareness show, and I have a partnership with Mental Health America. So we're putting together a show at Baseline this Saturday at 6 p.m. The event is free, but all the proceeds are going to go towards Mental Health America. So I just remember putting the post up saying, you know, November 10th, you're no longer alone. You were never alone. Right. You were never alone. But now it's starting to be talked about in discussion. So
and not only this, I read that you're actually you released the album May 7th.
Yes.
Remedy.
Yes.
You know,
and listen to that now.
So
it charted
fitting.
First weeks.
Right.
Yeah, first week on iTunes. Number 30.
OK. And that's awesome.
So
all the proceeds are going towards the mental health awareness as well. So that's from, you know, the album sales and the royalties.
Yeah.
So that's like, I commend you for that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like 2015 was a year for me. It was probably one of like the hardest years that I've ever had in my life. I lost my father to alcoholism, depression, suicide. And then I had a baby 4 weeks right after that. And I was also trying to work on my album. So when that stuff happened, I stopped. I shut down completely music. I wasn't even thinking about music. You know what I mean? So, like, for me to get through that, I would almost feel, like, wrong. Like, I'm doing a disservice to not bring that to, you know, to the light.
Mm-hmm.
So, once I talked to my management and we decided, like, okay, this is the approach we're going to take. Like, do we want to do a show about it? Do we want to do this? And then, you know, we figured out, all right, let's donate the whole entire.
So, when you were going through these things, you were actually able to identify the fact that you were having possibly a mental breakdown, you know?
Yeah, I mean, real talk, yeah, like, I hit rock bottom, you know what I mean? Like, 2015, I started coping, I started drinking, so now I'm going down the same path that my father went, you know what I mean? And then, when I'm telling you I'm drinking, I'm waking up, you know, not working, so I'm just working on music, I'm waking up, I'm getting on a routine of drinking at noon every, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So eventually that progresses. Mm-hmm. I get caught for a DUI. I wake up the next morning like rock bottom, ready to end it. You feel me? So yeah.
So who was
I feel like not we all, but for you to
I
hit
think most people, a lot of people go through this.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't know what they're going through. And they don't know what steps to take. And a lot of people don't have people in their corner that they can talk to about it. So they don't know that they can go seek counseling or what's the best way to deal with this.
Especially
this is
the black community,
right? They feel like it's just going to go away.
Nobody talks about
counseling. We self-medicate.
What do you go to a counselor for? What's wrong with you?
You know? Yeah. They think that's
of course.
Right.
Again, yeah. That's another problem that we have in the black community. But,
mm-hmm.
You know?
And so when you take on all these different things, these obstacles, and it's a lot of weight to carry.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. You know, I think I've gone through that personally where it was, I have kids, then work, and then, you know, everybody wants something.
Yeah.
So, you know, just being a woman, especially, you know, we deal with postpartum, you know.
Of course.
You know, after
I know
baby.
That. I
you know
that. And salute to every mother that's out there.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And that's, so I know you said in 2015, after your dad passing and then you had a newborn, how did you cope with, you know, now you have this new baby?
I don't know.
You know?
I really don't know.
Like,
I feel like that's still like a blur to me. You know what I mean? Like, those emotions were so mixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I could have the best moment, the like, think about the most like gratifying, best feeling to be able to hold my first son, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To think about that, but then in 5 seconds switch and be like, oh, think about my father, you know what I mean? So I did it the wrong way, you know, and that's why, another reason why I want to be open, I want to be transparent, because we all make mistakes, but if it's not discussed, if it's not brought into attention, then you're going to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I think there's also this fine line to be between seeking mental help, and then also the fact of God, you know, something spiritual there as well.
Yeah, I have a higher power. Okay. Definitely have a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things I feel like you put in God's hands, and there's certain things that there are medication for.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I feel like, or I shouldn't say obviously, but I feel like there are situations to where the medication is not used properly, like it should be.
Just a little bit on that, you know, like we were talking about the stigma, and, you know, people would try to say that this person is insane, or they try to identify it as they have the devil in them, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, that's the black community. I hear you. Right. All right. Yeah, I hear you.
What would you suggest to those listening when they're dealing with this? What are the first steps that they should take when they feel these? What's some of the signs, number one, that they know that something's wrong and I need to seek help? What are the steps that they should take? How do they identify this?
It's hard, man. It is such a hard thing to do. I'm gonna keep it, you know, a buck. I'm gonna keep it 1,000.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to do because the system has it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you have to take the steps to get guardianship. You know what I mean? Either guardianship or you got to be power of attorney. Depending on, obviously, if it's somebody that's in your family that's above the age of, you know, 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of steps that you have to take to get that done. My advice, it's hard to say. I don't want to say that there's a certain way to go about it because every situation is going to be different, you know, with each family. But I feel like the first thing you have to do is you have to be there. You have to be there for them, and you have to understand that person is sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're going through stuff, and you have to understand they're not right. You know, so the person that you see, if you know that that's not them as a person, you have to understand they're going through that.
So how should they shouldn't really necessarily give them, you know, thinking they're a doctor and they can give them advice. What is it, just supporting them?
It depends. It depends how the person's going to take it. You know, there's some that are going to be in denial towards the whole situation, that say, I don't have anything wrong with me. You know what I mean?
So that's a good point.
That's the hardest thing. But then there's other people that, you know, you have your sit down with them and you talk to them and they're like, okay, I'm open to going in and getting, you know, the help that I need, whether it be medication, whether it be getting on the proper nutrition. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. So I can't say there's a specific way, but I will say you need to be there for them,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you're not and you turn your head and all of a sudden you're just saying that's the crazy cousin, well, Let's go out there and look on the street. There's a lot of African-American bums that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably bet you a majority of those people suffer from mental illness.
Yep, absolutely. And they self-medicate. They end up on drugs. So
of course,
we just see them as drug addicts.
Listen, and that's how society looks at it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand. We need help, man. This system is messed, and it continues. It's going to keep continuing until it's changed.
Uh-huh. And it's just not, just regular people. You mentioned, like, celebrities. Let's talk about maybe Michael Jackson, for example, or Anthony Bourdain, who just passed away earlier this year. He committed suicide, and everyone assumed that he was happy, and because he has all this money that everything's all good. But then we don't know on the back end that he's dealing with something.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. I always say you never know, like, who you're talking to, because you don't know what they wake up to and what they go to sleep to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they go home, you don't know what they're going home to.
Right, you never know. One thing that will be good, too, as I mentioned with Anthony Bourdain, you know, they do have a suicide prevention hotline. It's all about identifying that I'm dealing with this. And I understand what you say, how tough it is to talk about it. This is so tough because...
Especially right now, if you think about it, with social media, think about how hard it is.
Yeah.
Because in this world, it is how you are perceived.
Yes. I think it's good for everyone to take breaks from it. Because, you know, just scrolling through Instagram and just seeing, you know, this person is...
But that's the hard thing, though, because that's not cool.
It's not.
And if you're like, oh, well, I'm going to put my Instagram down, then all of a sudden you're talking to your friend and they're like, oh, did you see this post? Oh, hold on. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I understand. Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we just as people have to understand, like, you don't have this whole trying to impress people like so much by trying to flash this and put on this front and this. Dude, we're people, man.
And I'm sorry, I have to touch on this. Well, Kanye West, as we, you know, I know that he was in the news talking about Twitter, mm-hmm. how he wanted to take away the idea of people liking the number of likes.
And how many followers you got. Yeah.
How many followers that you have. And you just brought up a good point. I think it's his way of dealing with what he's dealing with. I mean, as we all see him in the news, you know, every week is something different. And we talk about him. We judge him and say he's crazy. He's not right. Well, who's in his corner? This man broke down a few months ago. I'm sure you heard the interview on WGCI.
Yeah.
And he broke down because he needs someone. He needs help.
Yeah.
And he did admit to being bipolar, right? Was it bipolar?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. he admitted to it. And, of course, he went and got the help. They put him on medicine. But, you know, it's deeper than that now at this point.
I believe so.
You know?
I mean, I don't know. I just go off of what I see. But
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think he's sick, you know. And I don't know. I think it's crazy. I think I was talking to Kevin. I think we were talking about it mm-hmm. yesterday.
Shout out Kevin Ross.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kevin Ross. Shout out Kevin. Even though, like, he says that, right? We almost, like, push it to the side and we're like, what is wrong with Kevin? People are still like, what is wrong with God? He said he's sick.
Yeah.
If he's telling you that and we're still like, what's wrong? That's what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It is.
If we know that something's going on, we have to identify it. We have to be there. And then we have to take the steps to get that person right.
Yep. Yeah. Support him. Keep him off of social media. Number one.
Because it's probably the first thing.
That's the first thing.
He's got a lot on his plate.
It is.
So it's going to be hard.
It's a whole lot. And just like you said, you know, he mentioned this in his interview. On one end, he has to talk to this person about clothing. He's dealing with the clothing. He's a dad. He's doing this. He's doing that. It's a heavy load. And only one person can deal with so much.
Right.
You know, especially if you don't have the right support in your corner.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, you know, one way of going about it, there are hotlines that people can call. You can reach out, find a therapist, counseling, get the necessary help. And just a little bit about yourself to go with your story.
Yeah.
I think you dealt with personally when you were a child with your parents.
Yeah. Not so much growing up.
Okay.
Yeah. So growing up, I grew up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. You know, my parents grew up in Inglewood. It was like yin and yang. You feel me? Like, to them, it was, their goal was to try to get home from school. Like, mine was a lot different. So, I mean, like, my upbringing was great. My parents built a great foundation for us. Like, everything was good. I played sports growing up. I was involved in music growing up. Like, I remember when I wanted to quit the choir, my dad was like, no, you can't quit. You know, like, so my parents were very involved in my life. I went to college, you know, like, my parents were the best people. I look up to them so much. I'm so grateful for everything that they did for myself and my brothers. You know what I mean? But I don't know why. I feel like God told me, like, get ready. Get ready. Something's about to happen. You know what I mean? And that's when everything started, you know, my mother started showing signs of bipolar disorder. And that's when everything started to kind of snowball. My father grew up with my mother when they were like 14. Like, that was like his only, you know, like his girlfriend. That's it. So, like, they've been together their whole life. So if you think about it, right, this guy has been with this girl his whole life. His goal was to get out of this hood, the environment, right? And they had this idea and they did it. They moved out. They built a foundation, got corporate jobs, graduated college, they're living the life. You know what I mean? And everything's great, and the market crashes, we make it through there, build a house, you know what I mean? Everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, mental health comes into play. And my father's looking at the one person that he loved, you know, that he did his dream with, start to like suffer. So he's like, how am I dealing with this? You know, like what's going on? And anybody that knows somebody that suffers through bipolar disorder, there's a manic phase and a depressive phase, right? So they're not ever stable. They're not themselves. They're either hot, going crazy, saying a million things, wanting to do a bunch of things, or they're depressed. They don't want to do anything. So for him to see that, he doesn't know how to deal with it. So now he hits the bottle. And then that snowballs. And he doesn't know what to do. And then everything in the house starts going haywire. You know what I mean? And it's just starting to deteriorate. He doesn't know what. So then, and I looked up to my dad my whole life. So like thinking about like, if I were to ever think of him to do that, no, that's my dad. That's my superhero. You feel me? Like, so when that happens, it's like, whoa. So, and I know I'm not the only one going through that. So it's hard for me to talk about right now, but like, I know it's helping other people that are out there that go through this. So whoever's been, that's dealt with that, just know you're not alone going through this.
Yeah. And we appreciate that too.
Yeah,
because they're not. It's so many people that is dealing with it. You know, I know people that, you know, it wasn't until recently that I was able to identify that there was a problem. You know, certain things that was probably done to me, I probably took it personally at one point, but then not realizing that there's more to this than what I'm aware of. And now I'm able to kind of cope with it and figure out ways to probably, you know, reach out to people and these people and let them know that that you need help. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that, you know, they're in denial about it.
That's the hardest part.
That's the hardest part. So it starts affecting everyone around them. It just trickles down in the family. It's almost contagious.
Yeah.
You know, because when you have someone that's dealing with a mental disorder, family per se, and then, you know, you see them going through it, and now you don't know what you're facing. You don't know what this is, so you start to deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
And it just starts to trickle down to everyone else.
Of course.
But the first thing is getting help and just not being in denial about it. And I once again, I give you major.
Yeah, but see, but that's where we get the problem, though, because if they're in denial like so much, that's when people are going, all right, well, I'm throwing up my hands.
Yeah.
I can't do anything. And
yes.
Then now they're like, all right. And they're sick. So they're like, all right. And then they get kicked out the house.
Yep.
And they have nowhere to go. Or then they go to their cousin's house, or they go to their uncle's house and they stay there for a while.
Yep.
You know, because they're like, oh, how could you kick your brother out? How could you kick your sister out? Come on in.
Uh-huh.
And then they see what's going on and they're like, okay, you need help. And they're like, I don't need no help. Blah, blah, blah. All right. And then they get kicked out. Now they got to go to this family member's house. Eventually, you've exhausted all your family members.
Yes.
Up and you're still in denial, but you're sick.
Yes.
So then you end up on the street.
You end up on the street or you find someone else. It's just ongoing.
Right.
It never stops.
Right.
So you're creating this cycle where you're kind of like, you know, I wouldn't say messing up other people's lives, but you're kind of, you know, becoming this toxic person where you're affecting everyone that comes around you. And and you have to just find that one person. It has to be that one person that could just get, like,
that's the whole,
you need help. Come
shake
on.
Em. Yeah.
Shake them.
And then they say yes.
Shake them.
All right, I'm going to.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, because it's difficult. Like I said, once
But that's
again,
why I'm hard. Saying, like, you just have to be there. Like, you have to be there and you have to just have hope. Have hope that eventually you can get through to them, because it will happen. It's not just hope, though. It's not just hope. It's not just hope. It's not just prayer. Right? There has to be action with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, once again, I thank you and I give you major kudos because you are bringing awareness to this. And
thank you.
So important.
I appreciate it.
And I mean,
thank you for having me. Yeah.
You dropped this album in May, which is known as Mental Awareness Month.
Yes.
I'm sure that was a part of your.
Yes. A little bit.
And the name of the album was Remedy.
Yes.
And
that had a little, everything, right? You're starting to get it. All right, Marsha.
And, you know, I checked out a few of your joints, you know, and it's nice. I mean, I say that you are original. I can't compare you to anyone else.
Yes.
You are Brandon
on purpose.
Fox. I love that.
Thank you.
I love that.
In fact,
I do want to play one of the songs off of your album.
Awesome.
The one that I mostly enjoyed, which I only heard three tracks, but I'm going to play this one that's number one on my list, Beautiful Disaster. Okay, so Beautiful Disaster.
This is the first time we're playing this, by the way.
Really? Okay,
yeah,
I love it. I love first times
it's
on this podcast.
Yeah.
Running Laps in My Mind.
Yeah.
Breaking Rules.
Yeah.
And I May Tell You I Love You. See, you messing with people's heads right there. Okay? You messing with people's minds. I see where you going now.
Yeah.
So here we go. Beautiful Disaster off of the album Remedy. Is it Remedy?
No. This song is not off of the album.
Okay.
All right. So this song, it'll be out in 2019.
Okay.
We're still getting a few things figured out, but we're gonna let you guys hear it first.
First time here on Shy Media.
Can't let go with this feeling. Say no more, I got a feeling. Need your sexual healing. Your location, I'll be there quick. Maybe wrong, but it feel right. Cause you down for the late night calling. You hit me with the late night. You calling for the late night. Waves on the floor, waves on the floor. Are a gift to me. Talked before, it was a mystery. Caught the vibe, all of your energy. And now we fucking up the sheets. I kiss your body underneath. You run my body, you're rocking it like a swing. Hell no, I won't stop it. Hands gripping, I'm taking off like a rocket. You're running laps in my mind. Relaxing on the wine. Two glasses of wine. Beautiful disaster in my heart. I'm feeling your body, we getting in trouble. I'm taking your levels to places you ain't been. We under the covers, we under the covers. We under the covers, we under the covers. We under the covers. We may break the rules, I may tell you I love you. Round two, I ain't finished. Girl, I'm about to get back in it. Cause I'm gonna take you.
Right here, It's kind of sexy. I hate to say that. It's a sexy joint.
I had to. I feel like, I don't know. I didn't have to do anything, but I just felt
like. Yeah, but you know, I feel like you're playing stuff with our emotions
No, never that. Never that. But I wanted to, with the new stuff, I realized I didn't really have like a sexy like R&B, you know, track. So
beautiful disaster.
I wanted to just kind of create a story that you know
you
just,
talking about. I may tell you, I love you. You know, that's the no no. You don't do that.
We had to put that in there.
Just
trying to get real serious,
you about to get some stalkers or something. You know, that's all you trying to do. I see where you going, but. Definitely, you're original. I mean, everything
Thank
about
you,
you is
Thank
awesome. You on
Thank
point.
You. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
that.
Really, really. Cool. So most of your sales and royalties are going to be going towards the mental health of America. Are you you're partnering with all of it, all of it. And so you're working with one of the number one nonprofit organizations for bringing awareness.
They're the nation's largest. Yeah.
Yes.
The nation's largest nonprofit for mental illness. Yeah. So when we released the album or when we were figuring out the release of the album, we were trying to figure out, you know, what direction we wanted to take with incorporating like mental illness into this.
Okay.
Whether we do like a show, you know, album release show and then give out all the proceeds or I don't know. We wanted to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once we figured out, okay, let's find an organization that we can donate to.
And it's only best to go with the number one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
and
then,
so
yeah.
Let's talk more about this event that's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So so once we did the partnership, we've always been in touch. Shout out everybody at Mental Health America. Everybody's been great there. This entire relationship that we've had. So shout out to them. We released the album in May. Well, we didn't do any shows. And I think we kind of did that on purpose. We just wanted to wait and let the music build for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I guess as time progresses, it's like it's showtime.
Which, by the way, was charted on the iTunes.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes. Number 30 on iTunes first week.
Okay.
Shout out everybody. Everybody
that's
that
right.
showed love.
That's right.
Definitely,
that's awesome.
Definitely. So, yeah, but yeah, this Saturday, November 10th at Baseline, we are going to create a night that we can all give back. Okay, so it's a free show.
Mm-hmm.
Come out. I got Z-Verse, Eurobands, Audio Dreams going to be playing there. But yeah, it's going to be a great evening. The event's free. Come out. All the donations are going to go towards Mental Health America.
Okay.
So don't come with $0. I mean, at least bring a fee.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on now. He's going to put on an awesome show.
Yeah.
You know,
all that.
You're trying to, get fed for
free. I got a special guest coming too.
Oh, so we're not going to say right now,
yeah,
though,
we ain't
huh?
going to say it. Nah. I ain't no spoiler. All right.
I'm just going to, you know, maybe if I assume, you know, maybe it was like Taylor Bennett. I'm just saying, you don't have to answer.
See, she going
to
do that. You know, she going to do that.
Or maybe
why she gonna
Mr.
Do that? Why she gonna do that,
Malik Yousaf, you know, why is this one of his quotes, by the way?
Why she going to do that?
This project is remarkable and so groundbreaking. I'm glad this exists.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Shout out Malik.
Malik
okay. Yousaf. Yeah, we were just out in Oakland wrapping up his album. But yeah, shout out Malik. That's a homie.
Yeah.
That's a homie right there.
All right.
Yeah,
you guys heard it right there. You know, number one, go pick up the album.
He just put out his album too. Yeah, go grab that Malik Yousaf album.
Okay.
Make sure you guys
What's the name
that.
Of it?
I'm trying to think of it right now. You finna kill me. It's long. It's a long title. It's a very long title. But just make sure you guys.
Okay, we're gonna look that up.
Definitely.
And you know, I mean, we just heard a sample of what's on this album. Thanks for
the
groundbreaking
track
here.
Honestly, I don't even know what I'm gonna do yet with that. I don't know if it'll be an album that we do, like a little small EP. I don't know if it'll just be a single and we put out, you know, some visuals for. We don't know yet.
Right.
But it's getting good support. I'm glad you like it. You like it, Ray?
Yes.
Listeners, you guys like
yes.
it?
Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
Trey Songz had nothing on you because let me see, you got a mix of soul, trap music, R&B, and pop on
I'm
there.
Trying.
Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Okay. Well, he's got it. He's got the sound, ladies. He also has the looks, okay?
Hey,
so, you know.
Appreciate you. Marsha trying to make me blush off here. Tell me.
I'm working for you.
Right.
And so tell everybody how they can find you also.
Social media wise, at JUST Brandon Fox.
Okay.
Yeah, 1X. Everyone always asks me.
Okay.
I think of Jamie, you know. And my name's real.
Oh.
I'm not throwing shots though. See, I don't want no smoke, Jamie.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. Find me there on Snapchat. It is MR Brandon Fox.
Okay.
Facebook, just search for me, Brandon Fox. And then if you see me, just come say what's up. I'm a nice guy.
Check them out this weekend, by the way.
Yeah, the album's out now. Listen, Spotify, all streaming services, iTunes, Apple Music, Remedy. Listen now. Remember, all the proceeds are going to Mental Health America. So when you listen, you're doing something good for somebody else.
It's important, you guys. This is very, very important. Spread the word.
Yeah, and then it's this Saturday, if you're in Chicago, come through.
That's right.
Definitely.
We used to don't blame the cold. Don't use no excuses.
It ain't gonna be
that
cold. It ain't winter yet.
It's,
nah,
it's not.
Talk about it ain't February yet. Y'all already come out.
All right. Sure. Well, big shout out to Brandon Fox. Thank you so much,
Marsha,
for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
And huge shout out to one of the hardest working men in Chicago, Kevin Ross.
You already know. If you don't know him, get to know him, Chicago.
That's right. Thank you once again for joining me here.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
And until next
thank
time,
you, guys
you have
listeners.
To come back.
Yeah. I know you got a stage somewhere. I saw
we
that
do.
When I was
we
walking around.
We have a stage.
So I got to bring the band. I'll bring the band through.
And so the band will be out there this weekend as well.
Band will be out there.
Oh.
It's going all the way. Yeah. It's going all the way up.
All right. Yeah. Well, until next time.
Until next time. It was a pleasure. Thank you.